During the December holiday, for those of us who had holiday, I know some of us were working, and I feel sorry for you if you work in the last 2 or 3 weeks of December. But we were privileged to be on holiday, and it was in the last week of December. And as I always do, I was seeking God just to ask from Him, what is He planning for 2011? And if there is anything that He can share with me concerning the year to come, which I suppose all of us do, in some or other way, we at least think about the year that is ahead. I try to make a habit of seeking God and asking Him to give me a word for the next year. So I spent the day at home. Anton went to the beach with the children, and I just had some peace and quiet, which I don't actually ever have. And I just had some peace and quiet, and I was just asking God if there's anything that He can speak to me concerning 2011. And I heard the voice of God very, very clearly. Now, sometimes we think that we hear God, and some of us have grown in this more than others. But sometimes it is almost as if God is speaking audibly to us. I think some of us will know what I'm talking about. We just know that we know that we know that God is speaking to us. And it's so awesome to have an experience like that. And it doesn't happen every day for most of us. But that day I just knew that God was speaking to me. And God said to me, I want you to ask of me, what do you want from me? But I sensed that God was not only referring to 2011, He was actually referring to the rest of my life on earth. He came in a very powerful way to me, and He said, I want you to ask me. And then I just had the knowledge that if I am going to do this asking, it is going to be by the Holy Spirit. It is not going to be in my flesh. I actually need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what I need to ask from God. And I realized that in the Word of God, asking is a crucial aspect of our relationship with God. You know, Anton always refers to the blind man, and he was shouting out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus walked to him, and Jesus said, what do you want from me? Now, it's quite obvious the man is blind. He wants to see. But Jesus says to him, what do you want from me? And there's an element in our relationship with God where we need to ask Him. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. But I want to share with you a scripture first, which I believe most of us will know. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 7 to 12. Solomon. And verse 7, on that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David my father and have made me king in his place. Verse 10, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have ever had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Now we see that God comes to Solomon, and I believe that God came to me in more or less the same way. And God says to Solomon, ask what you want from me. And this is very precious, and it was precious to God as well, because Solomon asked for one thing. He asked for the wisdom that was needed to be a good king over God's people. In other words, Solomon asked something that was in unity with the vision that God has given him. The vision that God gave Solomon was to be king. And when Solomon asked for something, he asked for the very thing that was needed to be able to complete the purpose that God had for him. And that was to be the best king that he could ever be over God's people. And that was what he asked for. And God was so grateful and almost impressed with Solomon that he said, because you have asked the very thing that I have purposed for you, because you have the humility of heart to ask the thing that is according to my purposes and not necessarily your purposes, because you did not ask for money or a hundred pretty wives, because in those days they had many wives, or whatever. You asked for the thing that is on my heart. God said, because of that, I will give you wealth and many other things. And we know that Solomon then had the wisdom. And then the Word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And Solomon understood that his heart was not with the wealth and the riches and the Mercedes-Benz and the big house. His heart was with what God wanted. Now, what I want to share this morning is almost difficult to bring over, because it is something that I believe God did and is doing in my heart, and that God wants to impart to His people. And I actually felt that this was a word for the Shofar churches in our region, in Pretoria and Joburg as well. So I brought this word in Johannesburg, and I'm going to bring it in Pretoria and a bit later in March. But I'm trusting God to bring us an understanding this morning of His purposes. And I want to share with you, a couple of weeks ago, we were a couple of leaders together, church leaders, and we were just sharing what was on our hearts. And one of the ladies in our meeting was just sharing, and then she just started crying. And what she said was that, I am so desperate to come to the place and to do all the things that I know God has called me to do. And God has given me such a vision and such a revelation of His purposes for me. And I so much want to do those things before I die one day. I so much want to reach that place where I can die the way David did, having done everything that God has called him to do. And there was such a desperateness in her, such a sense of being desperate to fulfill the calling of God on her life. And almost a feeling of, when, Lord, like David in the Psalms, he says, why, Lord, when, Lord, how, Lord? It was that same thing in her heart. God, when are you going to release me fully and completely? Because I see a measure, but I don't see the whole thing. Do you understand? I see some of you understand what I'm talking about. And it was such a deep heart's cry. And it was so amazing for me to see that, because I so related to that. I so understood that. And then more of the people in our meeting, more of the leaders said, we understand that. We experience the very same thing. And when I was seeking God the last week in December for 2011, and I sensed God was speaking to me, I had that exact same thing. And I'm walking around with that thing all the time, because I know what God has called me for, and I see glimpses of it here and there. But I am hungry and thirsty and desperate to come to that place where this seed of destiny that was planted in me will come to fruition, will come to fullness. And when I went to God and I asked Him, I had such a sense that God was wanting me just to, it's difficult to describe this, you know, it's like being pregnant with the Word of God, and I'm trying to deliver it to you. You know, like having a baby. Now, those of us, I've had five, so I know what it feels like. It's quite something to deliver. And in the same way, in the spirit, I have to deliver a word this morning. But, you know, it's just such a knowledge that I had that God wants me to press in and push through, because there's something about the purposes of God. It doesn't just come easily. It is not just, it is something deep and something precious. And we have to push through and see God and ask God and be desperate, like that lady in our meeting that was crying, sobbing. Now, I'm not saying we must all start. It's just that there's that place of seeking God desperately for His purposes and asking God for it. You know, when Anton and I got married 11 years ago, we got married on Millennium Day, the 1st of January 2000, and we sang this one song. It was one of the songs at our wedding during the praise and worship. And some of you may remember the song. It says, "Ask." It's that scripture, "Ask and you said, ask and I'll give the nations to you, says God." Then the song goes, "You said, ask and you will receive whatever you need." Some of you may remember that song. And that song speaks about that scripture that says, "Ask and I will give the nations to you as your inheritance." Now, in the kingdom of God, it is all about people. It is not about buildings. It is not about money, even though we need it. It is not about being a celebrity. It's not about being up here or being in the worship team and being seen by people. None of that. It is about precious souls. And when God says, "Ask and I will give the nations to you," it is souls. It is people. People that must become born again. People that must become disciples so that more people can become born again. So that when Jesus comes back for His bride, that as many people as possible will be able to live with Jesus eternally. That is why we ask for the nations. And at our wedding day, we were singing that song. There was such a presence of God when we sang that song. And I will tell you why it was. Because when we got married, we knew there was a purpose for our lives. You know, Anton and I are very different. And many, many people that are married will have the same thing. They will say, "Well, me and my husband, we are very different." And God puts people together, all kinds of different people and different kinds of marriages. But as for us, sometimes it's difficult. Because you say potato and I say potato. You say tomato and I say tomato. We are different. We think differently. We operate differently. And sometimes it's hard. And marriage can be hard. But I know you all have very good... No, I'm just joking. We all know that sometimes it can be hard. But on that day, we knew that there are two destinies. The destiny of Anton and the destiny of Christelle. And those two destinies are colliding today to become one great destiny. And that is for all of us. That is the same for all of us. And on that day, we knew... This is not just a wedding. This is not just the day that we become married. This is the day where God is saying, the two of you together are going to do great things for me in my kingdom. And God wants to use everybody. We all have a part to play. But God said on that day, the two of you, and we knew then more or less already what God was planning for us, just the framework. And Pastor Fred May conducted the sermon and after the whole ceremony was over and he pronounced us husband and wife and we did the kissing and everything and we turned around to face the people. He said, "Just look at the people and give a hand for Mr. and Mrs. Meyerberg." And then Fred said something. He said, "Now go and change the world." And if I think back of my wedding, I don't think about my dress. I don't think about my hair. Those things were nice. I don't think about the food or the pretty flowers or anything like that. Whenever I think back of my wedding, I remember what happened that day. That day, two destinies became one. And there is a plan and a purpose for us. And when I went to God, I'm speaking about asking, when I came back to God last year in December, and I felt led by the Holy Spirit to ask things of God. Again, I had that knowledge of the purposes and the plans. And you know, I had to go and sit down behind the computer because the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. And the Holy Spirit started guiding me as to what to ask from God. And as I was typing the things that I felt that the Spirit was laying on my heart, I want to tell you this morning, the things that I typed there, I will not share because it might not, it's probably not the time yet. But I just knew that these things that I'm typing here are too big for me or Anton or any other human being. And Angus Buchan or Reinhard Bonnke, I'm not sure who, said, if your vision is not big enough to scare you, if it is not so big that you cannot accomplish it in yourself, then it most probably is not a vision from God. But we have a weakness in ourselves, and I believe it's a lie from the enemy, that says to us, who are you to think that you can do these things? Now sometimes, I read a testimony of Joyce Meyer, and where she shared that God showed her as a new Christian that she was going to preach to millions of people, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And she shared that with some of the people that was around her. And they said to her, who do you think you are that you can preach to thousands and thousands of people? Now, the enemy comes to us. But I want to say this morning, and I want to say it very boldly, we must stop confusing the purposes of God with who we are. The Word of God says we are nothing. We are nothing. We can do nothing. The Word says we can do nothing out of ourselves. So, why not acknowledge that, but acknowledge that the God that we serve can do anything. And if God can use Reinhard Bonnke to lead over a million people to Christ in one single meeting. Who saw that DVD? Few people saw it. Over 1 million people in one meeting. It's a sea of people. He prays for them for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's like thunder. When a million people start praying in tongues for the very first time in their lives. Now what we must understand, people of God, God is calling us for things that are very big and very scary sometimes. And the things that I was typing there, led by the Holy Spirit, were too big for me and too big to share with you this morning. It's too big. But I knew that those things was revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. And I've got such a need, such a desire in my heart that all of us, not just some of us, but that all of us will come to the understanding of who we are and what we were called for. Now, if you want to make an impact, you've got to be known by people. Doesn't matter what your personality is, doesn't matter what you look like or where you come from. If we are making an impact for God, if we move into that thing that God is calling us for, we will be known, we will be noticed, because we are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. But it is not by us or what we can do or how gifted we are. Never, ever. It is the purposes of God. And I just feel such a call I feel such a burden to call the people of God out and say, come out, come ask God. God says, ask of me and I will give you the nations. Never mind the house and the car. Just... those things are nothing. Those things are not important. We cannot take those things to heaven, clothes, whatever, whether your little girl is head girl or not, or the fastest child in the school, those things are... I feel so strong about this church. God says, you can have those things even, man, but I want to give you the nations. You know, just look at the vision of our church, to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. I am so grateful that God has planted me in this church, Shofar, because that is the vision of my life. Now, we have children. That is great. Most people have children. We get married. Not all of us get married. Some of us get married. We have husbands and wives. That is great. That is a part of life. There is a purpose in that. I feel very strong about family. That's another sermon all on its own. But I want to say, there are also nations and generations. We cannot stop with our own families. We have to see beyond. Now, it is so, we read the Word of God. We read about people that did amazing and awesome things. Why can we not do the same? They did the Word of God says, not by might, not by power, but by my Holy Spirit. And as I am standing here today, I have no doubt, in my heart that God has called me. I have no doubt that God has called my husband, and I know what God has called us for, but I also have no doubt that it is the same for every one of us. We need to come to God, we need to ask Him, we need to press in. That was just the introduction. Now, there's a song by Louis Brits. It's an Afrikaans song that says, Sien my, Sien my, Sien my reiklik. It speaks about Jabez. It says, bless me. And we all, some of us will remember that whole booklet by Bruce Wilkinson and the whole teaching on bless me. And it's not about being egocentric. It's about Jabez who went to God and he said, God, I ask of you, please bless me. And he said, God, extend my territory. He said, God, help me not to cause pain to anybody, but bless me. Now, I've been sensing the Holy Spirit of God in me for the past 2-3 months, constantly encouraging me to ask God to bless me. And when I ask God to bless me, I'm not asking God to bless me for me to have lots of things and to be happy and fat. I'm asking God to bless me to be able to reach the nations and the generations. That is why we need money. That is why we need influence. That is why we need many things. That is why God needs to bless us with many things. That is why I believe that money, finances will be released to this church and to the Shofar group and to every church that is seeking God to be able to do what we are called to do. And when we come to God and we say, God, bless me, it is not with material things, even though we need that. It is with the equipment that we need, whatever we may need, the anointing that we need to break the yoke. We ask God to bless us to reach this town, to reach this city. We need to ask God to bless us, just like Jabez did. And I want to speak about asking God, because sometimes we need to understand the Word of God before we accuse God of not answering our prayers. Now, many, many times people say, well, I prayed for this and I prayed for that, and God doesn't... Many times when we see people in counseling, God doesn't answer my prayer. But God is nobody's fool. I need to say that this morning. And I want to speak about asking God. I want to read from Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 21. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory,
to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is such a powerful scripture. It's a whole sermon on its own. You know what one of the differences is, and probably the biggest difference, between religion and really knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? The difference is understanding the love of God. I remember when I was a student, I became born again, and it was a very powerful experience. My whole life changed. The way I spoke changed. The things that I did change. My friends changed. Everything changed. And then I backslid a bit. Things went wrong for me. I was disobedient to God. And I fell into a sort of a pit of depression. And I felt very, very low and discouraged. And I was very desperate to just feel God again. And I felt very condemned for the things that I did. So I went back to God. And I was not expecting anything much. I just actually wanted to come clean before God. And I went back to God, and I was all on my own. And I remember at that time, I was actually bunking class. I was supposed to attend class, so I felt even more condemned. But I didn't do my preparation that I had to do for that class, so I was too afraid to go. So as I was approaching God, I felt guilty because I was supposed to, you know, be a responsible student and have been in class. But nevertheless, and I just put some worship music on, feeling very condemned. But I just put some worship music on, just wanting to spend some time with God. And as I sat there, I didn't even say it. I just had a desire for God to speak to me. And then God spoke to me very, very clearly, almost like I said earlier, audibly. And guess what God said to me? God said to me this one thing. He said to me, "I love you. I love you." I cannot tell you what it did to me. It was like the biggest gift that anybody ever gave me. I was, you know, when we become born again, we are, who have you experienced being absolutely in love with God when you became born again? Like completely and absolutely overjoyed. Just let me, okay, many of us. You know that feeling of being in love? It is like being absolutely obsessed with God. I was like that when I became born again. I was crazy. I evangelized the stones and the walls and the doors. I was, if there was no person to speak to, I would just speak to the table. I had to tell somebody or something about the love of God. And that very same thing happened to me twice as bad or twice as good. How shall I say it? I understood that the creator of the universe, I mean, Earth is this small compared to the other planets. Just go and study those things. The creator of Table Mountain and the Victoria Falls and Mount Everest, of the great ocean, the creator, the almighty God. I mean, there's no way to express or explain what God is like. Words fail us. That He said to me, "I love you." I mean, it was like the biggest revelation I ever had in all of my life. And that day I knew I could never live this life for God. I could never ever live this life for God if I do not understand the way He loves me. And the word here says, this is so precious. He says in verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love. And then it says in verse 20, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all, that we ask or think. I don't believe that we can come to God and ask anything of Him by the Holy Spirit if we do not understand the way that He loves us. You know that song that we sang a couple of Sundays ago about that hurricane song that says His love is like a hurricane? You know, the love of God is too big for us to actually contain. But when we understand it, when we and sometimes we have more of an understanding, sometimes God will reveal Himself to us, especially when we have sinned and we come to repentance, when we don't deserve it, when we are bunking class and having quiet time and feel condemned, when we are in sin, when we feel not worthy, then God will come and He will reveal His great love for us. Now, those of us who have children will understand the way we love our children. The way we love our children is actually insane. You know, sometimes I look at my children and I think, the way that I love them, the way that my heart aches when they are sad, the way that I want to protect them is, it's insane. It is overwhelming. It is such a great love. And I want to believe that I'm a balanced mother, you know. I'm balanced. I'm not making any idol of my children or anything. It's just the way that I love them. The Word of God says, if you think you love your children, if you think you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more do I love you? Can we start to understand how much God loves us? And how much He wants us to come to Him? Now, when my children were naughty at school, I've had that. I don't have perfect children. None of us have. The teacher called me in once, one of my little ones, and said she hit another child in the eye. And it was a whole thing. And then she hit her own brother. He was blood-nosed. And, you know, my desire when I heard that, I'm not going to say who it was because it might not be a good thing, but one of my little sweetie pies did this. You know, my whole heart was to just take her in my arms and say, why did you do that? What is bothering you? What can we do to fix this? How can we fix this? What can we do? It's only love. Yes, there's anger sometimes, there's a hiding sometimes, there's discipline many times, but it is all because of love. It is not because of a set of rules or condemnation, it is love. Now God says, how much more can we just understand how much God wants to embrace us? God says, when you have sinned, please, in heaven's name, come to me. I want to take you in my arms. I want to wash you, make you white as snow. It is going to be good. It is going to be good. It might hurt a little bit when I sort you out, but I'm going to fix you up. I'm going to clean you. I'm going to make you beautiful. I'm going to make you clean and precious and like a precious stone. Just come to me. And when we understand the love of God, we have liberty to ask. You know, and I came to a place in my life where I do understand that love to an extent. I believe God is still going to reveal much more of Himself to me. And I know when I come to God, I can come in boldness. Why? Because when God looks at me, He sees me through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. We can never thank God enough for the cross. I can come to God boldly. Doesn't matter what I did. If I repented of my sin, I can come to Him and I can ask for the nations. I can ask great and awesome and mighty things from God because I have boldness, because I know how much He loves me. Let's move on. I'm going way too slow. Then secondly, are you still with me? Okay. Secondly, when we speak about asking, we need to speak about holiness. Holiness. I really have on my heart this morning to speak about holiness. I want to read from James 4, verse 3 to 5. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you not think that the scripture says, in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? I believe that in the church today, we don't see as much of God as we are supposed to see because we don't live holy lives. Now, God has been speaking to me the past couple of months, and He's always been speaking to me, but it's almost like the closer I grow to God, the more I grow in my relationship with God, the more I understand the holiness that God wants from me. And many times in the church, and especially in the charismatic church, I think we are so fixed upon the grace of God and the love of God that we neglect the holiness of God. And the Word of God says, without holiness, none of us will see God. Now, I have a challenge this morning, and some of us may not like this, but I'm going to say this very boldly. If we spend every evening of our week, Monday to Friday, Monday to Sunday, watching television, if we have a great need to watch a soapy every evening for half an hour or two or three soapies, Isidingo, Seven the Lawn, whatever the soapies are, if we have a need to watch people who are committing adultery all the time, who are gossiping all the time, who are backstabbing each other, who have children out of wedlock, and find pleasure in that, I don't think we can claim that we are holy. I just feel my whole body shaking because I believe we need to address this. If we as a family, I'm not speaking about as a church now, I mean individual families, husband, wife, children, spend every evening sitting in front of the TV, watching advertisements that are actually pornography, in between programs, watching this program, how can we expect God? How can we expect God to trust us with His secrets, with His purposes, with the precious, holy things of God? If the desire of our hearts is to entertain ourselves with sinful things, 2 to 3 to 4 hours of every day, I don't believe we will see God without holiness, church. You know, the longer I walk with God, the less I can tolerate ungodliness, the less I can tolerate sin. I switch that TV on. Every second commercial is pornography. I mean, let's not fool ourselves. I don't even want to call it soft porn because it's not even soft anymore. My children are 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old. How can I preach to them those things are wrong, but I sit with them and I watch it on TV? How can I tell them? How can I blame them if they turn 13 and 14 and 15 and they go out and they do those things that they've been watching on TV all of their lives up until then? How can I blame them? Now, I believe, and I see this in some of it, I see this in some families. I desire this for every family. I believe that the place where we have our being in our household, in our house, it must be a place of holiness. Why do you think we don't see breakthrough in our homes? We pray for the sick children, they don't get healed. Because we allow all kinds of influences and evil spirits into our homes via the television, via the magazines. We allow people to come into our houses and sin in our houses. Now, if you have people over that are not married and they want to share a room, you say no. In this house, we do not have sex outside of marriage. Now, if you want to do it on your own, each one must work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. I will pray for you that God will reveal to you His holiness. But under this roof, I will not allow sin to enter my house. Yesterday, somebody said to me, why don't we see people getting healed? Why don't we see the legs that are too short growing longer and the people with cancer getting healed and the people, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I can say this, without holiness, no one will see God. So how can we come here? I'm not condemning us this morning, church. God knows I'm not condemning us. I'm speaking a word of liberty this morning. Now, how can we come to church and expect to see God if we filled ourselves with sinful things up until 12 o'clock last night? Can you imagine Jesus and Paul and Peter saying, oh, come. It's movie time. It's Seven the Lawn. It's Issa Dingo. Come sit. Come. We cannot miss it. Can you imagine Paul spending every evening watching people committing adultery? I'm sorry, church, but God is speaking. Jesus wants to come back for His bride, but He says, I'm coming back for a spotless and clean bride. He cannot come back to a church that looks like this. I'm not speaking about us. I'm speaking about the church as a whole. I'm speaking about us who are supposed to be the temple of God. What are we filling this temple with? Where is the glory of God? Why does it seem that the glory has departed? Why? Because we are exchanging our holiness. The Word of God says, don't be friends with the world. You are in this world, but you are not from this world. Why do we look exactly like the world? We cannot ask God for the nations if we want sin in our lives as well. I'm not speaking about being judged. God looks at us through the blood of Jesus. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. But we have a responsibility to live holy lives. We have a responsibility to pray for each other. We have a responsibility to pray for the sick. We have a responsibility to not neglect the fellowship of the saints. So when we tell people, go to church and go to cell group, we are not being religious. We are not setting a set of rules. We are obeying the Word of God that says, do not neglect the fellowship of the saints. The Word of God says, true friends will sometimes rebuke each other. A true friend will sometimes say to you, listen man, you've got to stop smoking now. You've got to try at least. You've got to see God. You've got to see God because this temple of yours must be clean. There's no condemnation. But the time has come for you to trust God to help you to stop this bad habit. You've got to move out. You cannot live with your girlfriend, man, and call yourself a son or a daughter of God. True friends speak the truth to each other. Eister sleep Eister. We've got to grow up in the body of Christ if we want to see God. I know I'm very long. Just give me another couple of minutes, please. Are you still awake? Okay. I want to read another scripture. If we want to come, just to end that off, if we want to come to God, if we want to ask for the nations, if we want to ask, then we must be living holy lives. Okay, 1 John 3, verse 17. Listen to this. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Listen to this, 1 John 3 verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now He who keeps His commandments abides in us and He in Him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. The Word of God says, we have to keep the commandments of God. And when we keep the commandments of God, we can ask anything from God and He will give it to us. Then, what does it say? What is those commandments? To believe in the name of Jesus and to love one another. The word says, whoever of you have lots of food to eat and lots of this world's goods, and you see your brother in need, and you choose to turn a blind eye, you choose not to share, you choose not to give, do not think that you can ask anything of God and that He will be wanting and willing to give it to us. You know, as a church, we need to look after the poor. We need to look after the poor that are in our congregation. We need to love them. No, there's no need to go to somebody that is begging. And you go, oh, I'll just say a prayer for you. Oh Lord, give him clothes and give him food. In the name of Jesus, amen. You are the one, man, that must give the clothes and give the food. If God sends you to that man or woman, if you are the one who sees. I want to ask the ladies here, how many pairs of shoes do we have in our cupboards? I'm not condemning that. Some of us love shoes. I think that's okay with God if you love shoes. I'm just saying, the last time when somebody asked for shoes, were you willing to give one of your precious pair of shoes to the person who doesn't have any shoes? It is so easy to come to church while the chicken is in the oven and to go home and eat the lovely roast chicken and the rice with the raisins in and the sweet potato and the lovely green salad and the ice cream and then go and lie on the soft silly posturpedic bed and just rest a bit and then get up and have a lovely coffee with a nice dark chocolate. Man, those things are great. God wants to bless us. But do not think that we can ask anything from God if we are not willing to move out of our comfort zones to those who are cold and hungry. The Lord Jesus says in His Word, I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was cold and you did not clothe me. I was in prison and you did not visit me. Where is the love of God? Church, I believe God says, I want you to come and ask from me. I will give you anything. I will give you anything that you ask of me. But we need to keep His commandments. We need to love each other. We need to learn to live with an open hand. We need to give as far as we can. And the most amazing thing is, the more we give, the more we receive. The more we give, the more we receive. The more we give, God gives us more. We give it away, God gives us more. I am a living testimony of that. God has given us so many things. We have given so many things away. God has blessed us again with so many new things. It is so urgent to me this morning that we understand that we can come to God and ask Him for the nations. But before we can do that, we must be sure that we are positioning ourselves to be able to ask God, for Him to be able to release the gifts of heaven into our hands. I'm going to end. I did not say everything that I wanted to say. There's no time, I believe. My message is too long. I speak too much. I just want to end with this. John 15, verse 14. Again, God says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The Lord says, bear fruit. You know, sometimes it's fairly easy to bear fruit. You know, be kind, be friendly, be submissive to your husband if you are a wife, be patient, love unconditionally. But the Word of God says that your fruit should remain. And when the fruit remains, when God can see, I can see the fruit in Amanda's life. I can see that it remains. I can see that she's faithful, like Anton brought that amazing word 2 weeks ago. Then God can trust us with His precious purposes. Now, we've got little Alicia. She's 4 now. And whenever Alicia gets hold of a cokie, she especially loves a permanent marker. Then she draws. She's been drawing. We were visiting my parents, and they have a lovely lounge suite, and she's been drawing on that with the permanent marker, like long, you know, like she was drawing, I think, maybe a road or a snake or something that's long. And when I saw that, I started hyperventilating. I had like an anxiety attack, because my parents are really, they're serious about their furniture. And I knew there's no way that this can come off. It's a permanent marker. So I almost fell on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, you are faithful. Please, in the name of Jesus, help us to get this off. Somehow clean these couches. And then my dad comes with this stuff that he got from my grandmother. It's about, honestly, 100 years old, that can take out any blemish or mark. And he applied that on the cokie, and it actually came off, like, completely. You know, God is very faithful. God saw, He heard my cry when I was crying out to Him. Now, Alicia, you know, she shouldn't get hold of any cokie, because when she does, she's been drawing on the beds, on the curtains, on the walls, on the carpets, on everything, I promise you. Now, if Leisha asks me for a cokie, which she does all the time, then I say no. Why do I say no? Because she cannot be trusted with a cokie yet. There's no fruit in her life when it comes to a cokie. Now, once I know that I can trust Leisha to only draw on the paper that I give her, then I can release her with the cokie. And when she does that constantly, but when she goes back and leave the paper and start drawing on the walls again, I've got to take it back. But then when I give it to her, the cokie, and I say, okay, now let's see. And for a week or a month or 2 months, she only draws on the paper. Then there is remaining fruit. And then she can grow in using cokies. Then I can give her a blue one and a green one and a yellow. I can buy her, man, a whole packet. I can buy her 12 color cokies. Any cokies that she would like, I will buy her once I can trust her with it. Once there's fruit that will remain. And she can make the most beautiful drawings. In the very same way, if we don't bear fruit, God cannot trust us with His precious purposes. And we grow in that. We grow in that. That is why when we become born again, there are so many prophecies. How many of us have experienced getting prophecies for our lives and words? Can I just see? Can you just show me? How many of us? A lot of us. There are so many things. You know, we had all those prophecies. And then Anton and I, both of us, and I was so sure that we are going to go big or go home. And then we started pastoring this church in Franschhoek, small church. I can't even remember how many people. And I was thinking, how hard can it be, you know? We disciple them, we teach them. We were the youngest people in the church, by the way. We were the youngest, me and Anton. They were all a bit older. And I was thinking, how difficult can it be, you know? We bring good messages, we have nice cell groups, the church grow. Give us 3 months, the building will be too small. Well, it didn't work like that. It didn't work like that. We need to grow. We have a vision of God. We have an anointing of God. Now we need the character. And the anointing is easy. God can give it any moment, any time, whenever He chooses to. The character is the hard part. We've got to grow. We've got to be fruit that remains. And once God sees, man, this child of mine, she's faithful. She's bearing fruit that remain. I can release my purposes and my promises, because God is looking for people that He can trust. Let's quickly stand. I thank You for Your patience. I know this was a very long message. I appreciate it. Let's quickly pray. Father God, God, we come to You, Lord, this morning, Father, and we take another 5 minutes, God, because You are more important, God, than anything else that we are planning for today. Father, and as a church, Lord, we want to come and we want to ask You for the nations. Father, we want to ask You, God, that by Your Spirit, God, You will lead and guide us, Father, in every truth, Lord, that we will walk truth, that we will speak truth, Lord. I just want to ask that, I'm not going to call anybody to the front, but if this morning the Holy Spirit was speaking into your heart, and if you know that you have a desire to ask of God, but you want to come to a place in your life where you live a holy life, and where we love, and where we follow the commandments of God. Let's just put our hands up, not for anybody to see, just as an indication, just to God, just to express a desire to God. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I just want to pray a prayer for those of us who put our hands up. Father, this morning, Lord, we come to You, God, and we repent, Lord. We repent, Father, of thinking, God, that we can be friends with this world and still see Your purposes in our lives, Lord. Father, thank You, God, that there is forgiveness, Father. When we repent, Father, when we confess our sins, You are faithful to forgive us, Father. Father, and we ask You in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You will come, Father, and just strengthen us like Your word says in the inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit, God. Because we choose this morning, Father, to live holy lives, Lord. We choose to lay down the thoughts that are sinful, Father. We choose to take captive every thought, God. We choose to lay down, Father, the addictions that we have, the television, the magazines, the gossip, Lord. Whatever those things are, God. The sexual unclean thoughts, Lord. Whatever it may be, God, we choose to lay it down every day, every day, every day anew, God. To put Your first, Lord. To seek Your kingdom first, Lord. To have Your holiness in our lives, Father. Father, and we choose to follow Your commandments. We choose to love, Lord. We choose to love Your people, God. We choose to give and to share. To live a life of love, Lord. And Father, then we want to come to You, God, and ask You by Your Holy Spirit, Father, to lead us and to guide us as we are asking You for the nations, as we are asking You for the generations, Lord. And as a church, God, we come to You and we ask, will You give us the nations? Will You give us the generations as our inheritance, Father? Father, and I pray, God, for such a desperate heart's cry, such a desperate need to see Your purposes coming to fulfillment in our lives. In the name of Jesus.